2019's Best Picture winner will be crowned this Sunday at the 91st Academy Awards. But the Oscars are notorious for making choices that don't always age well. So we wanted to hear from our listeners on this one. What's your pick for Best Picture?
Hi, this is Brian from Pittsburgh. I'd love Black Panther to win. It may not have been the critical favorite, but its message and its appeal along with its success are a great choice for our times.
This is Kitsy Parrish, Louisville, Kentucky. I hope to see The Green Book win at the Oscars. It is a great movie, great story, and excellent acting.
Hi, my name is Sarah. I'm from Norman, Oklahoma, and my choice would be Blindspotting. It's a moving, living, breathing story. It's well told with good visuals and amazing acting performances. The soundtrack is wonderful.
This is Catherine in Brooklyn, and I hope that Roma wins the Oscar, because it shows the difficult hand women are dealt and the dignity and strength with which they cope and triumph in a crucial job of raising the next generation.
My pick for this year's Best Picture would be Bohemian Rhapsody. It's relevant, and it's a true story, mostly.
Some great picks there, regardless of where the Academy lands this year. Of the movies that were nominated, this year does have a strong group of contenders. But here's the weird thing. In the run-up to the awards, the movies themselves haven't taken center stage. Instead, the spotlight's been on the series of changes the Academy tried to roll out, and just about each and every one backfired spectacularly. John Horn is the host of KPCC's The Frame, and he's with me now in studio to talk about everything you need to know heading into this Sunday's Oscars. Hi, John.
Hello there.
So we're having an Oscars, right? It's happening.
As of now, although the Academy has reversed course on at least five material decisions so far, there are a couple days left, so I'm assuming it's going to happen, but we'll find out Sunday.
But it will be hostless.
It will be hostless. This is the first time since 1989 there will not be a host for the Academy Awards. And if you think back to that ceremony, I don't want to date myself. I was there.
You were there.
Rob Lowe came out. There was a bump and grind number with a Snow White character.
Used to work a lot for Walt Disney, starring in cartoons every night and day.
But she said goodbye to Grumpy and Sleepy, left the dwarves behind, came to town to stay.
Lights keep on burning.
The Walt Disney Company was so incensed, the Academy actually had to apologize. It was memorable, but not for the reasons that I think the Academy wanted to be remembered. So no host, lots of presenters, we think. We'll find out.
Why did the Academy say no hosts? I mean, I don't think there were a shortage of people who wanted to host the Oscars.
Well, they actually did ask Dwayne The Rock Johnson if he wanted to host, but he couldn't make it work schedule-wise. He had some ideas. There was a conversation. The Academy then decided to hire Kevin Hart. Either they didn't check his jokes or they did and thought it would fly. Within a couple of days, Kevin Hart was out for making a series of anti-gay jokes that he refused to apologize for. So they tried some other people. They couldn't find anybody. So hostless. But that's just one of like five bad decisions they've made so far.
Let's talk a little bit about the Popular Film Award decision, which I thought was a little strange. Now, they've walked that back, haven't they?
Yeah, it was more than a little strange, because if you look at that idea, it is basically best bad film. It is a movie that is not really good enough to win Best Picture, but it's popular enough that maybe enough people like it. I'm thinking like Fast and Furious movies, Transformer movies. It was announced in August of last year. By September, it was a dead idea.
Why? Why did it die?
Well, in some ways, it's emblematic of the problems that the Academy is facing. The Oscar ceremony has become increasingly irrelevant. The ratings last year were the worst ever. It feels like an afterthought. There's so many other award shows. People don't seem to care about it as much as they did. So the Academy wanted to include blockbuster films. As it turned out, there are a lot of big hits in the Academy Award Best Picture race this year, including Black Panther, including Bohemian Rhapsody and A Star is Born, that they wanted to kind of make sure that the show was relevant. So they thought, without thinking, that if they created this new category, people would watch, because the highest rated Oscar telecast ever was when Titanic was up for Best Picture. Now, there are no Titanics this year. There are no movie that are grossing $3 billion around the world. But they thought if they made another category that brought in higher grossing films, that would improve the ratings. But it was never thought out. Like, what was popular? Was it determined by box office? There was just no criteria. And immediately it became clear that anybody who won this award would be a little bit ashamed. It was like Miss Congeniality at a beauty pageant. You're not really pretty, but we're going to give you a prize anyway.
But and who wants that, really? There's been a couple of other changes here. The awards of editing and cinematography and hair and makeup were going to be presented during commercial breaks. Why? I mean, did they walk that back too?
Of course they did.
Okay,
again, this is the walk back Oscar. So if they had an idea, they walked it back. Again, this is toward the idea of trying to make the telecast more compelling. The Oscar ceremony over the last 10 years has averaged about 3.5 hours in running time. So the idea was to present 4 awards in commercial breaks, edit down the presentation, the acceptance speech, and then run that during the broadcast. The problem is that the categories that they chose, editing, cinematography, live action short, and hair and makeup, the people in those branches and other very important filmmakers said those are the heart and soul of filmmaking. Guillermo del Toro, who won the Best Picture Oscar for The Shape of Water, said, especially of editing and cinematography, quote, they are not inherited from a theatrical or literary tradition. They are cinema itself. So the Academy said, okay, we heard your complaints. They're back in the ceremony, which meant that the show now will not be under 3 hours. It'll be probably 3.5, like every other Oscar show is.
I mean, a lot of this is the Academy trying to course correct in a lot of ways, right? A couple years ago, we saw hashtag Oscars so white. They've been trying to downplay that or really work on that. And are the Oscars still so white?
Compared to the country, yes. Compared to Hollywood in the past, you know, couple of Academy Awards, no. And I think they've made really good progress. The Academy has been incredibly aggressive in attracting new, younger, more diverse members to its voting ranks. So they have added over the last couple of years 1,000 members, many of whom are people of color, many of whom are people under the age of 40. The Academy has been and will continue to be, because you're in it for life, an institution of older white men. And those tastes kind of are predicated on who is, you know, voting, who the membership is. So as they brought in younger people, I think you've started to see in certain categories slightly more diverse and interesting picks. And I'd say this year, you know, they've done a pretty good job.
Let's switch gears to the films themselves. A couple of front runners here. We're thinking about Black Panther, Roma, Green Book even. Who is your front runner going into Sunday?
I think this is really tricky. If I had to bet the house, you know, on what movie I think is going to win Best Picture, 2 weeks ago, I would have said Green Book. Today, I might say Roma. A lot of people thought Star is Born. I don't think it's going to win Best Picture. You know, there are a contingent that thinks Bohemian Rhapsody has an outside shot. I think Rami Malek is going to win the Best Actor Award for playing Freddie Mercury in that film. So I'm hedging. I guess if I'm filling out my office ballot, I'm going to mark Green Book, but I may change it to Roma.
And Green Book also got a little bit of controversy. Bohemian Rhapsody was a little, you know, controversial. So I'm wondering, so the Academy is just kind of looking past that potentially.
I think in past years, the movies have attracted a lot more controversy than they have this year. Green Book has been criticized, I think, justly for a number of things. Bohemian Rhapsody has been criticized for maybe, you know, kind of sanitizing Freddie Mercury's gay life. Again, compared to other films, other past years, it doesn't feel like those controversies have really dominated the conversation. I think the Academy has said, listen, we're going to be the controversial figure this year, so don't worry about the films. We're going to take all the heat for making a series of
the
decisions that we're going to go back on.
Well, let's talk about someone else that we all know very well, Spike Lee. Finally, after how many decades, has gotten a first Best Director nomination for Black Klansman?
Many, many decades. It's his first nomination. And I was at the nominees lunch where all of the nominees are invited to this very nice luncheon. And there's a team photo where, I don't know, 100 some odd people are taking their picture. Spike Lee, it's a random call. Spike Lee was the first person introduced to have his photo taken. And he got a great ovation. It's amazing that he hasn't been nominated before. Again, I think it's a great nomination. I think Alfonso Cuarón is probably the front runner in this category, but he did an amazing job with Black Klansman.
Let's take a listen to what he had to say.
When Jordan Peele gave me the pitch of the film, the 6-word pitch, Black Man Infiltrates KKK, the first word that came to my mind is this true? And then Jordan said yes. And then the next word, this is absurd. So the humor, this is not a comedy. The humor from Black Klansman comes from the absurdity of the premise. So it's organic.
What took so long for Spike Lee to get this nomination?
Well, I would say some of his movies haven't been that great. He made some really good movies early on in his career. Certainly Do the Right Thing, one of them. I'd say some of his most recent movies were a little hit and miss. This is a incredibly well-made movie. It's unbelievably topical. This is about a Colorado police officer who's African-American who infiltrates the KKK over the phone. The coda to the film is incredibly disturbing footage of Heather Heyer being murdered in Charlottesville. It feels like a number of films this year, even though it's a period film, it seems unbelievably relevant and timely. I would put Green Book in that category. I would put Vice in that category, even Roma. They're movies that are set, you know, decades in the past that feel really relevant to today. And I think Black Klansman is really the top of that list.
In addition, you mentioned Roma. Yalitza Aparicio is the first time nominee for Best Actress. She's the first Mexican indigenous woman to be nominated for an Oscar for Best Actress. You had a chance to speak to Yalitza.
Yeah, what's amazing about this film is Alfonso Cuarón wanted to cast actors who reminded him of the people who were in his life when he was growing up, including the two women who were his primary caregivers. And he wasn't interested in acting experience. He was interested in people who look like the real people in his life. And that meant that he went far and wide to find Yalitza. And she didn't know anything about Hollywood. I mean, she didn't have a TV in her home. She never heard of Alfonso Cuarón. Here's what she said about the audition process.
Bueno, realmente no he hecho nada para el cine. Yo no estudié para actuación ni nada de esto.
I've never done anything in the movie industry before at all. Actually, I've never studied to become an actress or anything at all. Actually, I went to the casting because my sister wanted to know what a casting was all about. And I didn't have a clue who Alfonso Cuarón was. Not a clue. Once I got to the casting place, I did the casting. I went through the casting process. And what I liked is that he spoke to me as if he knew me from a long time ago. So I trusted. And he asked me to have peace of mind and to take it easy. And he said, just do what you normally do.
That was Gabriela Murga, her translator. I think she's unbelievable in the film. And this is where, like, maybe a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. She didn't know acting from not acting. In fact, she thought Alfonso Cuarón was involved in human trafficking when she first went to the audition. She had no idea what this guy was about. And the purity of her performance, I think, is captivating. And Alfonso talked about watching her and, like, really going back to his childhood and being there in that moment. It's an incredible film. I think it's a remarkable performance.
It was a very vulnerable performance. And like you said, very authentic and very natural. And I think that comes across also in the way that he filmed the film. Let's talk a little bit about Glenn Close, who has been nominated before, but never won it. What should we know about her role in The Wife?
The Wife is a really interesting film about a woman who is married to a very successful novelist, and he has won a major award. And as the film goes on, it's really about how much she has contributed not only to the marriage, but also to the literary work. And I'm not going to give anything more away than that. Glenn Close is somebody who really believes in stories and will fight to get her films made. This is a movie that was in development for almost 14 years. She was on the project for 5 years. It's not easy to get movies made when your primary actors are people of a certain age. Glenn Close is 71. Jonathan Pryce, her co-star, is probably the same age. These are not the kinds of movies that attract easy financing, and a lot of people just don't want to make them.
I think it's been you're the aunt or the mother or the grandmother, and you're definitely in a secondary role. And I think it's spectacular that women of my age are still having viable, exciting careers, because the irony is we only get better. You know, I mean, that I keep looking at my watch seeing how much time do I have left. Oh, my gosh.
Hollywood often is ambivalent, if not completely reluctant, to try anything that's different. And even though they seem like incredibly different films, I think you could look at The Wife and look at Black Panther. There was never a big action movie with an African-American lead that was directed by a Black man. And this movie is a global sensation. So never repeat history, because it won't always work. And The Wife has been well received. It's certainly not a blockbuster. It's a good film. You should check it out.
Well, on Black Panther, does it have what it takes to win Best Picture?
I don't know.
Especially as a superhero film.
I don't know. I mean, it's amazing that it got nominated. It's certainly the first superhero film to be up for Best Picture. There's some really good department heads. I think it could win for production design. I think it could win for costume design, although the favorite's probably the winner in that category. Maybe it's not quite at the level of some of the other Best Picture films. It's a good movie. I mean, it's not in there by a fluke. It is deserving to be recognized, and it's deserving to be nominated in the categories that it's in.
Absolutely. John Horn is the host of KPCC's The Frame. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.